We're doing a spotlight on research at UNC here on WCHL. We're going to keep doing this over the course of the year as so much great research is happening on campus every single day right in front of us that does not get the publicity that it deserves in a whole bunch of different fields. We're joined now on the air by a pair of geography professors at UNC, Banu Gucker-Excel, whose name I think I just pronounced correctly, and Sarah Smith. They just co-wrote a couple of essays, one of them called Territory, Bodies, and Borders, which is actually the opening essay for a larger symposium, right, that was published in Area Magazine earlier this year, and an editorial on Donald Trump that was posted, that was published in Political Geography. Thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Thanks a lot for having us.
So I don't even know who to begin with, but the research that you did on Territory, Bodies, and Borders in this larger symposium focuses on sort of the relationship between territory and borders and the individual physical body, right? So the way that states or nation states will sort of define their borders and their territory through the use of that of imposing it on the human body, which makes the human body both a source of oppression, but also potentially a source of subversion. If you want to subvert state control, that's the way that you do it. So that's the gist of the argument, right? I think I got that about right. So how does that play out in practice for people living their everyday lives? How do we experience state control, state territorial or border control on our bodies, and how is that used to subvert? Sarah, she's looking
sure,
at you.
All right. Sure. Well, I think when we hear terms like territory or the state, we tend to think of large abstractions, and we don't tend to think of our own role within them or the ways that they exert power over us. So if we think, for instance, about the ways that we talk about demographic shifts with relation to the presidential campaign or other ways that the nation is changing, we think about that in the abstract. We don't think about the way those are caused by individual people falling in love, having babies, moving across borders, or other kind of intimate practices of love and friendship.
Okay.
Yeah. And this was the symposium, or the collection of articles here, was a way to actually contribute to political geography. And traditionally, political geography focuses on states, territory, and borders. So those are some of the key concepts. It doesn't focus on bodies at all. The kind of political geography that has been around for a long time is actually a people-less geography that focuses much more on the political map of the world that you see, that is neatly divided between countries and only statesmen, you know, political leaders negotiating, but overlooks the how some of those national discourses affect actually real people and also materialize as part of everyday life, how people interact with one another, how they label certain people as threats to the nation, then may actually lead to violence against those people or their deportation or somehow trying to mold their bodies in order to fit this national ideal. So it's also about drawing actually boundaries around who belongs, who doesn't, who fits in, who doesn't, and which bodies are to be feared and which bodies are to be idealized and kind of accepted. And it can take many forms as part of everyday life. And if you are actually an immigrant, you actually feel this on a day-to-day basis when people keep asking you, you know, where are you from, insisting on that question, when are you going back home? That's the most like mildest kind of expression of that. It can take much more kind of aggressive kind of, you know, behavior as well, kind of questions. And what is really interesting in this collection is not only showing how ordinary people and their lives and their individual physical bodies are affected by these, you know, bigger ideas about nationalism, but also how people actually reproduce those ideas, how they contribute to it, how they actually make those real. And that is, I think, the most original part of these contributions.
Okay.
Drawing attention to how people are not just, you know, things to be ignored. It's not just the statesmen kind of making these, participating in these ideologies. We are a part of it too. And that means we can also change them.
Yeah.
Right? If we're not, you know, it also opens up this kind of space for change, for social change, for political change.
And
well.
So this is something that we're seeing play out on a hourly basis in this presidential election, right? Yeah. And when you mentioned immigrants, and I mean, it's not even just immigrants, right? It's people, mm-hmm. it's any person of color who right. has their American identity questioned. Yeah. It's
and
someone,
Muslims to be
banned. Barack Obama and the birther movement.
Exactly.
You can be the president right. of the United States and still have this imposed on you.
Right.
Yeah. And this comes out of, and you mentioned that that sort of geography in general focuses on the abstract. So there is that growing movement in geography, right, that wants to bring it back down to the body and how geography and geographical decisions and those borders that we see mm-hmm. on the world map, when we get the world map or the map of the United States when we're 4 years old and we just sort of have that internalized, that these are the boundaries and this right. is the way it is, how those boundaries are created and the disputes and how that plays out mm-hmm. With respect to individual lives. And both of you come out of feminist geopolitics, right? Mm-hmm. So what is feminist geopolitics?
Feminist geopolitics.
Could you pull the microphone a little bit closer?
Sure.
There you go.
Okay. So feminist geopolitics is exactly what I described mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, saying that, you know, geopolitics should not be just about relationships between different countries and how they negotiate their power, struggle over expanding their, you know, influence over ever-growing territory and drawing borders, but it's also about everyday life and looking at ordinary people and how they are also part of geopolitics. And I work with this concept of intimate geopolitics and intimate politics, so think about the body as a site of political struggle, ideological struggle. In my work in Turkey, and now I'm become, you know, it's been impossible not to write about the US under the circumstances, so now I'm also doing this work with Sarah. And Sarah has been writing about intimate geopolitics for a long time.
So for instance, if we take the borders between India and Pakistan, they mm-hmm. were drawn based on religious identity under the colonial regimes as the British were leaving. And that's a way that bodies were explicitly marked with a religious identity, and consequently, many people suffered violence, death, sexual violence, and these borders were drawn that reinscribed the idea that bodies carry a particular identity that belongs to the nation state. And we see those repercussions today, I would argue there, but here as well, where there's a certain implicit ideal of what it means to be American.
Mm-hmm. So let's, and we're speaking with Banu Gokhareksel and Sarah Smith, the symposium that we're talking about that they co-wrote with Nathan Swanson, who mm-hmm. was a grad student at UNC, he's moved on now, Territory, Bodies, and Borders, which is in Area Magazine, is on the role of the body in terms of states defining territory and establishing control over a particular territory. We do it on an individual level. States do it on an individual level. But let's flip that around and talk about subversion, because mm-hmm. just as states and governments can control us via our bodies, we can use our bodies to subvert mm-hmm. the state. So how does that work in practice?
I think we're seeing that right now in some of the reactions to the ongoing presidential campaign, because you see women changing their idea about who to vote for based on their own experiences of sexual assault. So that means that embodied experience of violence is going to shape who becomes the next president of the United States, which has clear geopolitical repercussions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in the special issue that we edited, Nathan Swanson actually mm-hmm. wrote this really interesting article about Tahrir Square in Egypt during
yep.
the Arab Spring, and how protesters used their bodies to claim territory, claim Tahrir Square as their own territory and carve it out of actually state control and assert their own control over that territory, and therefore using actually their bodies to subvert state power and to ask for political change, radical political change.
Go ahead.
And here we see this, the Black Lives Matter movement is a perfect mm-hmm. example of this, where people are drawing attention to the violence that has been ongoing for Black communities mm-hmm. by literally placing their bodies on the line. And I think they've shifted the national conversation. It's been a very powerful movement in that way that I hope will lead to real change.
Yeah, I was reading about the Tahrir Square, and it reminded me of what I always talk about with classes when I talk to them about the legal system in America and the extent to which plea bargaining is such a mm-hmm. crucial component of the judicial system, because without it, the system would entirely break down. So if we all wanted to break down the judicial system today, we could just, as defendants, all refuse to accept plea bargains and sort of impose our bodies on the courtroom, and mm-hmm. then the system would break down. So we have that at least capacity, even if we don't necessarily use it. Yeah, so this plays out in a whole bunch of different ways. So we've got to let you go in a minute, but again, the symposium is Territory, Bodies, and Borders. What else should people know about this issue, especially as we get into the presidential election? We're less than a month away. I know you've also written an article on Donald Trump, which also just got published. What should people know about this issue that we don't? This is not something that often gets discussed in coffee shops or at the lunch counter at Sutton's, but what should people be talking about?
So one of the things that was striking to us that motivated us to write this this article and or editorial on Donald Trump was how was the relevance of feminist theory and gender and gendering and racialization of bodies. And how that kind of lens was necessary to understand Donald Trump's rise, not as as an exception, but actually as showing all these undercurrents that were present in U.S. elections for a long time, but his discourse and all the debates around him made them much more apparent. And since writing this piece, actually, everything has escalated, you know, even more, and it's become really apparent the need for an analysis that focuses on gendered bodies and how, you know, ideas about masculinity shape our expectations from a president, what kind of a person, what kind of a leader we're looking for, but also how gender and race are used to create fear and threat, and also to avoid talking about certain kinds of issues like, you know, jobs or kind of addressing some of the more like underpinning problems, but locating those problems on the bodies of women or minorities or migrants or Muslims or, you know, things like that. So that has been the main kind of motivation for this.
Sarah?
I agree with that, and also just to emphasize that I think two things that we were thinking of in addition while writing this were the ways that it's easy to think of the current escalation of kind of hate talk in our national politics as an aberration, but really we need to understand it in our historical context and the ways that people have consistently been excluded in the forms of nationalism. That's one of the points that I think we need to keep in mind. And then the other one is the ways that embodied nature of the political even takes place kind of on the debate stage and in the way that different bodies are talked about as having stamina or not, and the way that that kind of speaks to an undercurrent of who's idealized, I guess, as a national leader.
And I think one of the key points here, and it comes out in the article, and you just said it, we think we're scaring ourselves by talking about Donald Trump as if he's this horrifying new thing, but that's actually the comforting thought. The real scary
exactly.
thing is that it's not new. This has been going on for 200
yes.
years.
Yes.
Yeah, and this research is so important in terms of bringing that out. We've got to let you go, but
thank
again,
you.
Sarah Smith, Bhanu Gawker Excel, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks a lot for giving
Thanks
us the opportunity to talk to you.
Is there any place that people can go just in general to find more about you and the research that you do?
Our websites are
geography.unc.edu.
All right. Find out more about the geography department and these two great researchers online, geography.unc.edu. Check it out. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.